Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
This is Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.
Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin Lady Nig. Batmobile lost a wheel and the Joker got away. Hey!
Hello and welcome to The Pull Bag. This is episode 570. I don't know if it'll be the last one of 2024, but it might be. You never know, folks. And I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. It's been a while since I've recorded one of these things, since I had a bunch of stuff pre-recorded, since I steal Jesse's content, essentially. It's not stealing. We share it. I republish it on the pull bag after it's already gone through his stuff.
Permanently borrowing.
Yes, yes, exactly. Permanently. I like that. I'm going to steal that. And as you can hear, folks.
Why are you permanently borrowing my joke?
Exactly. Hey, well, you know. You didn't copyright it.
Ryan the Uneven Flow from Up Nerd, yes.
That's
Up Nerd
right.
Podcasts with an S. Anyway.
Up Nerd Podcasts Network, absolutely. So you have a podcast now. Jesse has a podcast now. Everybody has a podcast. You get a podcast. You get a podcast. You get a podcast. Of course, that's the way it's been since COVID and all that and everything else. But this is episode 570 of The Pull Bag, and it is time for Christmas. I was not expecting a holiday comic this year. I think the last holiday comic we reviewed on this podcast was EW Holiday Special, which was, what, 2015, 2016?
Something like that.
But DC is jumping into the anthology of holiday tales with Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg.
Just like the song.
Exactly. Did you think? And the funny thing is, the copy on DC's website, Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg, the Batmobile Lost the Wheel, well, you know the rest. Mm-hmm. Read these six merry tales about characters from DCU set during the holiday season, be enthralled by Dr. Midnight's literally silent night, become captivated by Dead Man's story written by Marv Wolfman, and ponder the question, in a world without the Joker's torment, is it really a wonderful life? Probably not.
Wait, it was eight stories, not six.
Well, then whoever wrote this DC thing needs to fix it. I didn't write this.
Interesting. The first of the short stories is Jon Stewart in Santa's Oath. Okay, yep. So we'll go through one by one and see if you somehow found a copy that was missing too. But anyway.
I don't think so, because I've read them all. Like, I think it's just the copy's wrong. I think the copy from the web
could be.
I literally got this from the DC Comics website. I didn't get it from anywhere else. So DC screwed up, because you're right. There are the eight stories here. So we have, like you said, Jon Stewart in Santa's Oath, written by Dorado Quick, art by ML Sanapo? Sorry if I mispronounced that. Colors by Arif Prianto. Letters by Dave Sharp. Uh-huh. Then we have the Secret Six in Secret Santa, written by Drew Maxey. Art by Mariana
Ignazi,
there we go. That's my brain wanted to say that, but it couldn't. Giovanna Nero is on colors, and letters are done by Pat Brosu. John Constantine. Okay, sorry.
Oh, you crazy English speakers. Jeez. Although I'm not actually French. My French accent's terrible, but anyway.
Let's hear it. I triple dog dare you.
No.
You're going to have to refuse.
On parle pas français on Soul podcast.
Anyway. John Constantine in The Ghosts of Christmas Present, written by Ricardo Sanchez, art by Aaron Conley, color by Ivan Placentia? Placentia. Okay, I just want to make sure. Letters by Steve Wands. Probably my favorite one, unfortunately, and not surprisingly, The Joker in It's a Criminal Life. So much better than the actual thing. Anyway, written by Alexis Quasarano, art and color by I can't pronounce that. I'm sorry.
Marcial Toledano Vargas.
There you go.
Letters by Carlos M. Manguel.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Dead Man and Dead Man Walking, written by the legendary Marv Wolfman, pencils by Paul Pelletier, inks by Norm Rapamond. Hey! Actual people I know by their name. Color by Aaron Angolini. Letters by Carlos M. Mangle again. Dr. Midnight and Silent Night, written by James Reed. Art by Francisco Francavilla. Letters by Francavilla. Dave Sharp. Francavilla, sorry.
I've met them, anyway.
Yay, awesome. Very cool. You'll tell that story later. Oh boy, those Vixen stuff. I'm going to need help with that one. Vixen in The Perfect Gift, written by
Zipporah Smith.
Okay, there we go. I wasn't sure.
Art and color by Andrew Drillin. Letters by Josh Reed. Probably not the former Buffalo Bills second round pick in the early 2000s. Anyway.
Oh. And then finally, Superman in Oh Glowy Night, written by Calvin Kesluki? Could be wrong on that. Art by Anthony Marquez, and colors by Will Quintana, and letters by Pat Bursu.
Bursu again.
Yep. The main cover is done by Riley Rossmo. The variant covers, I don't actually have the variant covers in front of me, but they were done by...
I didn't see them either.
Yeah.
Santa Fong, who I do not know who that is, actually. Mm-hmm. And then Lee Bermejo, who I think most people know who that is. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Famous for his covers and interiors on Joker and Luther. That was it. Probably his two most notable ones. Anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely. Before I mentioned this to you, had you seen this? Had you heard about this, that they were doing this?
Nope.
Okay. I don't know where I saw it. It was on some DC either Facebook or Twitter or something. And I was like, ooh, really? Interesting. Very interesting. So the first one is the Green Lantern story.
Yep, Santa's Oath. Yep. Which, I mean, Lantern comes across seemingly Mrs. Claus, but anyway.
Yes.
Being toy jacked, I guess, by Toy Man.
Yeah, by Toy Man.
Toy Man, who appears in two different books and gets captured in both of them, poor guy. It's a rough Christmas for him. Anyway.
Yeah.
And yeah, turns out she and Green Lantern end up teaming up. She has one of the Hope rings. Mm-hmm. And they team up, take Toy Man down, and get the bag for the kitties.
Yep. I think
duly noted cool. Here, I liked how they did the story with... So most of these have like some type of quote heart, unquote. I really like how they did John Stewart's story, where he tells her, you know, how come Santa never showed up for me? And she explains, like, oh, you needed somebody who was always there for you, you could believe in. And I don't know, it was just kind of sweet. Sort of the highlight of that story for me, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. The highlight in the writing for that was the whole, you know, you needed your mom, you needed someone who could be with you all the time. So they put her in blue. And when I first saw the blue panel, I was like, with her all in her getup with the ring on, I was like, Fairy Godmother, where's Cinderella? That was my first thought.
Yeah, that's the Hope panel. All the lantern rings correspond to color, but some reason, Hope is that kind of brightish blue usually.
But it's just how she looks in the blue. It's not about the blue itself. It's about the getup and the fact that she, again, I'm not. It's not the end.
I feel like Hope should be orange. Good. I don't know. I feel like Hope should have been orange. I don't know. Should have been orange. I know we're going back into Green Lantern lore here, but anyway.
I thought Larfleeze was evil. Isn't orange part of the evil
side? No, I'm just saying. Like, I feel like the color, when I think of Hope, I don't think of blue.
Okay.
It's just a weird choice to me for color. Okay. Period. Same with, I guess, willpower is green. I'm not sure if that's... Anyway.
Well, green means go, so, and red means stop. So you got to stop the evil and go with the heroes, right? I don't know.
Sure.
That's a cool-ass sleigh, though. That's awesome.
Toyman had the robot reindeer, though.
Yeah, he did. He does have robot reindeer. Those are cool. But John's always had awesome constructs, whether it's in comics or animation. He has an imagination, unlike some Jesus Jordan characters.
Well, Hal's stuff is always like planes or stuff he knew from 1950, whatever.
Yep. And they save, quote unquote, Christmas, or they save the night and. I like that one. I like the Green Lantern one. It's good. I was not so sure about this Secret Santa, the Secret Six Santa thing.
Oh, it focuses on Bane as he tries to figure out who is his Secret Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of amusing. I'm not a huge fan of it. I know part of it is because, to be blunt, I have... fallen in love with the Bane parody that's in Harley Quinn. People who listen to Up Nerd can hear us talk about seasons 1, 2, and 3 of Harley Quinn. But anyway, it's a parody of a mixture of Bane and the Tom Hardy Bane. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I read his voice now, I read it in that voice, which probably doesn't help any. Well, but I mean, overall, also, to be fair, Secret Six, or at least this iteration of it, has some of, like, not great characters. I don't know. There's been a lot of different Secret Sixes and Suicide Squads and stuff, and I don't know. This is not the best lineup for them, but whatever. Anyway, it's a solid little story. He tries to figure it out and sort of questions each one of them, and he goes through his thoughts on each one. It's an amusing little story. And then he gets gifted, spoiler alert, he gets gifted his bear from his time in prison.
Yep.
And then he gives his blood, which, I mean, I know why he does it. He does it so that she has a piece of him with her all the time, which is oh so sweet. It's a little disturbing. I don't know.
Very, very disturbing.
Don't feel like hanging around with people's blood.
Yeah, no. No, not at all.
Also, I've never been a big fan of Deadshot. I just got to throw that one out there. I mean, he's kind of like lame Punisher.
Other than Harley, I don't give two shits about the Suicide Squad.
Well, this isn't this is Secret
Six. I know this is Secret. Well, you mentioned Deadshot. And Deadshot.
Yeah, well, Deadshot's in the. Yeah, it's been in both, but yeah.
Yeah, but like, because that's where I know him from mainly. I don't care about him. I don't care about any of those other characters. Like you said, this lineup probably isn't. This is probably like outside of Bane. This is probably like C tier DC characters. I would say maybe D tier. Like it, you know, you're not getting your
sharpest. Most people have heard of Deadshot, but yeah, the others.
Outside of Bane and outside of Bane and Deadshot, I'm saying the rest of
people have heard of Catman, but mostly because he's a meme. Like before, they kind of reinvented him, etc. Yeah. But yeah, anyway.
And the only reason why I know Catman is because he was in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited for a couple episodes. Mm.
And Scandal Savage is not an interesting character. Although, to be fair, comics Vandal Savage is not super interesting either. Anyway.
I mean, the dude just wants to destroy the Earth. Like, he just wants to destroy the Earth and be by himself. And he's old.
Well, no, he's kind of discount, no real motivation, Ra's al Ghul. But anyway. He's Ra's al Ghul if you took away any interesting aspect.
Very true. And I will say, now I have not read a lot of Bane comics, but so keep that in mind when I say this, folks. This is probably the most interesting thing I've ever seen Bane do.
Bane can be fun. Bane can be a good character.
He can be. But in comics specifically, okay, fine, not just in comics specifically, but in my lore of Bane, Batman and Robin, a few times he showed up in DCA.
Oh, he was terrible in the animated series, like except for Out of the Past, when they finally kind of gave him a story and a writer who gave him something to do and actually made him threatening. He's just sort of generic strong guy and all the others. But no, I mean, like, comics version of him is better. Harley Quinn version of him is hilarious. So anyway.
Very cool.
John Constantine in Ghosts of Christmas Present.
Yeah, good old John Constantine.
Yeah, I was wondering how they were going to do a Constantine story when I first saw the list of upcoming stories, because Constantine's just an old, prickly jerk, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't really associate John Constantine with Christmas.
No. So we were saying earlier about hearing voices. With Green Lantern, obviously, I hear Phil LaMarr because of Jon Stewart. Because that's who he played in Justice League, Justice League Unlimited. With this, I hear Matt Ryan, because that's who was Constantine. Cool.
The former quarterback from the Falcons? Wow.
No. His name is Matt Ryan, right? The actor?
I believe so, yes.
Well, I have to double check. You talk about the story while I double check my facts here.
No, it's just sort of Constantine, and he is to be visited by at least one ghost. It turns out it's his, and he gets kind of haunted, who his ghost slash demon following him puts together pretty much the worst possible day for John. He throws up on himself. He gets, I don't know, it's a rough day. Ruin his nice Christmas sweater.
Yep.
It's an odd one. He's very British and very Constantine. I don't know. It's kind of fun, though.
Yeah, it was very fun. I very much enjoyed it. And yes, I was correct. Matt Ryan. Real name, according to Wikipedia, Matthew Darren Evans. So, pseudonym. He's actually only a year younger than us.
Wow, so maybe it was the quarterback. Oh, anyway.
No, it wasn't the dang quarterback. Oh boy. But yeah, no, I like, for the little that I've seen of Constantine in the Berlantiverse or Arrowverse or whatever you want to call that, and then reading this, I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool and fun.
He's mostly just a curmudgeon that fights demons, so.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he's very British.
Yes, very British. And then we get It's a Criminal Life. Only the Joker could do this story. Oh, God.
Fine. I don't know. I wasn't as big on this as you, apparently. This is, yeah, the Joker loses his will to go on when he's stopped by Robin, and Batman can't even be bothered to show up. So another Robin who he killed, which, by the way, that's a little interesting. Which Robin is that? Because
Jason, it
he's
is
not
Jason.
Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not dead.
He's not dead now, but apparently
he's not dead.
I know he's not dead now, but in this fictional area of story, apparently he's dead.
All right. Anyway,
I don't know. I don't think these are, because these are anthologies, I don't think they're trying to tie all of this in.
No, I mean, I knew it had to be Jason Todd, and you get the Crowbar reference as well, too. It was kind of funny to me reading it, because I'm like, well, technically you didn't actually manage to kill a Robin because he's back, so.
Yeah.
He didn't even manage that, Joker.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Biggest, most overrated things in Batman lore. Martha's fucking pearls and that goddamn crowbar. They overuse that all the time. It's not here, though. I mean, the crowbar's here, but yeah, anyway.
So he's haunted by Robin, who tries to show him that the world would be a better, or is a better place, sorry, with him and not without him, except he's wrong. The world is much better without him, and there's absolutely no crime. I appreciate that he brings crime back, and as soon as he drops the gun, Joe Chill shoots two people who just happen to be Bruce's parents anyway, which is just kind of funny.
That's so wrong. Oh.
And yeah, it helps Joker see that, no, he's needed. He needs to bring fun and entertainment to Gotham. And so he decides he wants to live, and Robin gets his wings, although he does get resurrected by the Lazarus Pit, and then they use Clayface to fake his body for a bit, and then anyway.
Oh, geez. I do wish I could have Mark Hamill say that last line, though. And if Steve was here, he would do it. I might actually have Steve do it if I can get him to do it before I edit this episode. Move over, Santa. Joker's coming to town.
But yeah, it's fun. It's a cute spin on, yeah. It's something to do with the Joker that's not thoroughly out of character. So, I mean, it works.
Yeah, it works very well. I have never been a Dead Man fan. I don't
dislike the character. Yeah, not a huge fan either. It's not a... So, again, they find a way to use him, which is good, though. So, in this story, there's a mine collapsed. All the miners are trapped inside. Dead Man being non-corporeal, so he just inhabits people, for anyone not familiar with him. But he's non-corporeal when he's outside of inhabiting a person. But he's able to go between the outside of the mine and the inside of the mine, and he essentially like grabs people and coordinates efforts so that the mine doesn't collapse. And randomly the children decide to wander out, which is a little odd. I don't know if I had, you know, if I was taking care of the kids or something while the miners are working and then their mine collapses, I probably wouldn't just ferry all the children over. Maybe it was after 4:30 and the babysitters all decided to go home. And so they're like, well, I'm not staying tonight. I mean, I'm not getting paid for this, am I? So you just drag him to the mine. And like, here, stare at this. You're dead somewhere under that. Anyway. But they sing carols and Dead Man's able to free up enough rocks so they can breathe and then presumably get out at some point. He doesn't actually stay until they're completely free. It's very, very poor superhero work. You got to make sure the job's finished.
Yes, you do. Absolutely. And then Dr. Midnight in Silent Night.
I like this quite a bit, actually. So, I mean, the art does all the heavy lifting. It's very noir-ish. Dr. Midnight comes... Dr. Midnight pursues a criminal... Turns out he's providing for his family at Christmas time. Things are pretty bad. Mm-hmm. The father who did the criminal activity, presumably some type of robbery, ends up getting shot. Dr. Midnight ends up saving his life. He also did it. I should mention, he also did it. And boy, this is timely. Anyway, he also did it because the daughter is very, very sick. And so it couldn't afford the bills for
Christmas.
And it's Christmas time. So anyway, so he turned to a life of crime. He gets shot by the police. Dr. Midnight saves his life. Dude ends up going to prison. While he's headed to prison, though, Dr. Midnight, in his normal everyday persona, comes up with some type of cure or something for the daughter. And so when he gets out, finally, father is ecstatic to see, and he's reunited with, you know, his healthy family, and things are seemingly better.
Yes. The only quibble I have with this one...
Not enough CEOs get... anyway.
No, stop it. Stop it. The only quibble I have with this one, and it's just, it's very much a nitpick. I do not like that owl at the end, because even though these are anthologies, I feel like every time DC puts an owl in anything, there's going to be a court somewhere.
I mean, no. There were no owls for, like, decades before the Scott Snyder story.
That's what I'm saying. Now, well, since 2011, every time an owl shows up, I'm like, oh, crap. Here we go.
Also, like, owls are kind of like Dr. Midnight's thing. They always were. Anyway.
Honestly, I think this is the first Dr. Midnight thing I've ever read, so maybe I need to do some research for next year, folks. Up next, we have Vixen in The Perfect Gift.
I don't even know where to start with this. Vixen's trying to find a gift for Ben. And, like,
yeah.
I got to be honest with you, the stakes have never been lower.
Yeah, this is, yeah. The art is nice. The art looks cool. But the overall story plot is just like, okay, this could be a Hallmark commercial.
Vixen. You don't know what he would want, you know.
Yeah, really?
Well, no, he's a dude. Just get him a new PlayStation game or, like, you know. So many choices. I was cool on this one. I'm not super big on Vixen. God, I think I've only read maybe a couple of books that she's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even then, like, not as a starring character. I mean, my apologies for anyone who, you know, that's their favorite character. But yeah, I just haven't read a lot with her in it, unfortunately. So, I mean, I'm not super attached with the character, sadly.
Yeah,
that's fine. I mean, that's also what anthologies are for. You know, it's like the old 90s soundtracks. There's going to be some songs you know, and then some songs nobody's ever by. Groups or that just nobody's ever heard of, so it happens.
Yeah,
could be different for everybody.
Yep. And then we end with "Oh, Glowy Night."
Speaking of characters I've never heard of, there's this Superman guy, and he
Mark Bent.
Yeah, he busts Toyman. This is, by the way, the animated Toyman, who's more of an actual toy.
Yep.
Which was interesting after we saw kind of the human form that he's usually drawn in the first story. Anywho, he busts Toyman and discovers that he's glowing, and the rest of the book is him visiting. Well, first guess is pretty good. Let's be honest, it's Luthor. But so he visits, you know, enemies, he visits friends, he visits someone who is. I can't remember the name now, the character who basically, like, devours light. Anyway, he's looking for a cure. Thank you. Jeez. I don't know why I spaced on that. He even visits Parasite, who's locked up, and, like, nobody can take this away. And, of course, he discovers the source of it is
Mizyez Pidlick.
He just calls him Miz, which is fine with me.
Yeah, good old Mixie. Yep.
But anyway. Godfrey,
we miss you.
Yeah, this was fun. I liked the resolution, which was funny, which is he can turn it off, but he has to clap. But it also means anytime anybody claps, it just turns on again and pretty much blinds everybody. The solution is kind of sweet from Mixie, though, that he tries to, you know, he's trying to brighten things up for the humans and deliver sunlight in the dreariness of winter, which anyone who lives up here knows about.
Yes, absolutely. Only 89 more days to go, because Clark always has to keep the counter on for when Izzy's Pitlick stops by again.
Yep, 3 months.
Yep. And then at the end of this, I have an advertisement for an upcoming Valentine's issue, No More Mrs. Nice Harley. Harley Quinn, written by Elliot Kalan and artist Mindy Lee, team up to make Gotham City safer for crime again. So apparently that's a new monthly title, or I don't know. I just saw Valentine's on it, so I assumed it was just a Valentine's one-shot? It seems like it's going to be an ongoing. I don't know. I haven't even looked at information on this, but...
Wasn't in the one I read, so don't look at me. apparently you got 8.5 stories, not 6. I just got 8.
Yeah, apparently. But yeah, I like this. I think this is fun.
It's fun. It's a good little like Christmas issue. I don't know how... I wouldn't... I think it's for longtime DC fans. I don't think it's great for kids. The Superman story maybe, but like, man, some of it. So, I mean...
No. This is not a kid's book.
I mentioned the Dr. Midnight. I know. I'm just saying like a lot of the time though, you associate sort of holiday specials and that kind of thing with kids. You've got that, the Dr. Midnight story, the Joker story, obviously, Bane relating his time in prison and everything else. And just Constantine in general.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking with this.
It's fine. I think it's just sort of a fun thing for the DC hardcores.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's who it's for. I think if they wanted to do something like a Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg kids version, they could and they should if they wanted to. But
yeah, I think it'd be more the animated style like the final Superman short story here was.
Yeah, absolutely. Thing about this, though, is if you have a comic, you got a comic that the title of it is Batman Smells, and there's no Batman in it. Like, I would have taken out, no disrespect to any of the creative team, no disrespect to Mr. Wolfman. Well,
to be fair, he does appear in Vixen's story. And he does briefly appear in Joker's as well. Well, Bruce Wayne for one tiny panel. Right. But yeah.
Yeah, tiny panel. So here's what I would have done with this. You take what we just discussed, have Batman be the Jiminy Cricket. You have Batman be the narrator. You have Batman be the Gonzo. You have Batman like giving us little thought bubbles between each story, like a little like bullet point at the beginning and end of each story with what Batman thought of the story or something.
I'm not sure that's that much fun. Batman is famously not exactly a barrel of laughs. I don't know. I think it's fine. Batman doesn't need to be in every DC book. He's already in way too many.
What are we up to now? How many are we up?
Idea.
Oh, really? Interesting. I have no idea either. Enjoyed this. I thought it was a fun little thing especially for a lot of characters that I've never read or just don't read in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was nice to have a little like. Again, this is probably everybody's biggest complaint. 90 plus years of comics, especially in DC's case. Where do you start? What kind of continuity? Yada, 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 yada. This is non-continuity, single stories, beginning, middle, end. And there you go. So
it's fine. I like the anthology stuff. I kind of wish they would play with the format more often in most of the big companies and just every once in a while just forget the continuity and just have like a one-off like this. Doesn't even if they were to do it just once in a while, not even have it sort of holiday themed or anything like that. It's fun whenever you get to kind of dump the continuity for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, as I am sitting here trying to Google to figure out how many Batman books are currently running, one of the results was, how many DC Batman comics are there? Batman has currently over 8,436. So, are we going to get an issue 10,000 at some point?
Probably.
That was my first thought. Ryan, what are you currently reading for your comic book enjoyment
So stuff I enjoy? Oh, man.
Well, I mean,
I can think of one I'm leaving off. No, anyway.
Transformers.
It's okay. I don't know. Anyway. I don't know. I wasn't really prepped for this one. I mean, I'm still reading Monstrous every month it comes out. It continues to be fantastic. Obviously, like the heavy hitters, like Saga, stuff like that. For individual ones, I don't know. This has been a really good year for indie comics. I've read stuff like In Utero and Singularity and stuff like that. I recently started reading Something is Killing the Children, which I'm four trades into now, getting caught up on that. Been enjoying it from James Tynan. Absolute Batman is quite good and different. Been enjoying that from DC, obviously. Marvel stuff, I don't know. Fall of X was not great. That was the end of the Krakoa era. The relaunch stuff has been okay, but I don't know. Not in love with it so far.
Well, that's good, because if you're not in love with it, we're not covering it. We covered House and Power of X, but if you're telling me that it's not good, then...
Well, I mean, this is the post-Krakoa era. This is from the ashes, the new sort of relaunch of it. And I mean, it's fine. It's just, I don't know, it's hurt by the fact that Fall just sort of happened very rapidly and they kind of skipped over stuff. Anyway, it's fine, though. There's other stuff I'm sure I'm not thinking of. Oh, the Ultimate series. Oh, God, how could I leave that out? All of the Ultimate books, surprisingly, have been fantastic, unlike their predecessors, except for the old Ultimate Spider-Man was really, really good. The current Ultimate Spider-Man is somehow actually better. And then the rest of the stuff, like Ultimates and Ultimate X-Men, is a fair amount better, although partially because the old books have not aged well. Ugh, Mark Millar, why? Anyway. The Mark Millar challenge, write one book without either incest or terribly dated gay jokes.
Oh no.
Which he cannot do. No, I mean like the old Ultimate books. They were filled with that anyway.
Oh boy. What would you rate Batman Smells, Robin the Laid an Egg, 0 to 5?
Oh right, I was going to do it out of 10. Well, that doesn't work. I'll give it a 4. Yeah. 3.75 or 4.
Yeah, I'm right at a 3.5, pretty much. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I hope that they do something like it. Like, I don't know if this is the start of a new anthology series that they're going to do once a year, every year for Christmas. I don't know if they're going to start this anthology. Like, they can't call it Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg for Valentine's Day or April Fool's or Flag Day or anything, but here's hoping they do something with this next year, because I would be interested to see other holiday stories with various DC characters.
Like I said, even then, I don't mind the idea of like a short anthology or short story compilation of 4 or 5, you know, pages, just jumping continuity or something like that. Just kind of like give some of your writers free rein. It's one of the negatives. You always talk about that you like to read series from their beginning and jump into them at that point. The problem is obviously like that's not possible with some of these books. Like Batman, for example, now has 8,000 some odd issues. If you want the full quote unquote Batman story of everything that's happened to him.
Yeah.
But I mean, imagine being a writer and A, you've got to try to come up with something different that somebody hasn't done before. And B, you have to try to keep in mind at least the major events that he has experienced.
Yeah.
Like if you, in your book, you write that he broke his back or something like that, and you forget to mention like, gee, this happened to me before or something like that. People are going to get real mad. So I just think the idea of giving writers a chance to play with these characters that are iconic without the burden of 50 or 60 years of continuity is kind of nice to do once in a while. I mean, that's why stuff like the Ultimate Universe happens, or the Absolute stuff from DC right now, is some writers just want a chance to play with the characters, but it's just not possible to tweak them that much in the main universe, or else somebody's going to get upset with you, or the next writer has to somehow find a way to change it back, or like, it's one of the problems with the long-term comic characters. You can't do much to Batman. They're not going to let you.
They're not going to let you. And the thing is that you have... You're right. I mean, overall, the character of Batman has almost 8,500 issues of comics in 85 years, because this year is the 85th anniversary of Batman. But here's the thing. As long as you keep the genesis, as long as you keep the building blocks sort of similar, and you have an interesting story or whatever. We've seen a lot of stories, and honestly, after 12 and a half years of this podcast, I know everyone was all up in arms about the New 52 erasing the continuity of the last 75 years of the time, or 70 years of the time, whatever it was back in 2011. And it's like, at this point in 2024, I'm like, every story, it's sectionalized for me personally. Like, New 52 is its own thing. The DC Rebirth, I don't know if they're still doing the DC Rebirth, or if they did with Dawn of DC, if they changed it other than Rebirth or whatever, but like, we've seen like DC reboot their universe three or four different times since New 52.
I think the issue was New 52, though, took over the existing universe. At least that was the concept before they eventually kind of went back. And that's fine, but I think that's why something like Absolute or Ultimate is probably going to be a little more accepted, because it doesn't change the main universe. If people want to keep reading the X-Men with Cyclops and Logan and stuff like that, it still exists. But if you want a different story or different origin to them, here's this other series that exists, and now there's two sets of Ultimate X-Men, and there have been, you know, other like alternate universe ones, but I think that's the issue, is that if you have one just sort of overwrite the other, that's why it can be really hard to do legacy characters, which is a whole other can of worms, but
it is.
It can be done, you know, like nobody cared about the original Captain Marvel. So years after he dies, you know, Miss Marvel rises to Carol Danvers, and then you get a new Miss Marvel, and the two characters exist. You had the opportunity for Carol to become different and change, which, by the way, was one of my issues with New 52, because I was ecstatic to see Dick Grayson be Batman. I thought that was an interesting series of stories, was Dick Grayson as Batman and stepping out of the shadow, and then they immediately tried to course correct and wanted to bring it back, which, I mean, to be fair, I mean, I loved New 52 from Scott Snyder, which was probably like Snyder's New 52 stuff was probably the best out of all the series, and it's the one that's had the most lasting impact, because I mean, you mentioned Court of Owls, well, that's where they came from. But
I will argue Gail Simone's Batgirl and Kyle Higgins' Nightwing, but all three of them, between Scott Snyder, Gail Simone, and Kyle Higgins, all three of those series for New 52 are top tier.
Yeah, those are fair, and that's good mentions too. No, that's true. But I think it was just the overwriting, which, I mean, it annoyed me, but I mean, when I finally sat down and stopped being a whiny jackass and read Snyder's Batman, I was like, oh, it's really good. So
yeah, it was very, very good and very, very fun. And we have, I think, covered all of Snyder's Batman, at least all of the original run on the podcast. I think we have. I think you did that with me. I forget who did that with me. It was probably you. I don't
know. We did some of it. I remember that.
Yeah. I know Steve started it with me because the whole reason why I even started the pull bag was Steve showed me the cover to issue 13 with the Joker's face on it because that was the start of Death of the Family. And I'm like, I hear Mark Hamill in that picture. Let me go to the comic shop now. And then, you know, started the pull bag and 12 and a half, 13 years later, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else you want to say about Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg, or anything else before I send it to a quick?
No, we kind of went off topic, but yeah,
it's okay.
It's solid and enjoyable. I'll be quiet now.
That's not what. Oh my god! You don't have to be. I was asking if you had anything else. I was
I think we covered it, and like I said, went off, so it's fine.
All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break and hear some ads and some other stuff, like the fine ad I received from some sort of Canadian network called Up Nerd Podcasts. So you'll hear that and some other stuff right after this.
Hi, welcome to Up Nerd. What is Up Nerd? Up Nerd is a podcasting network of shows hosted by me, The Uneven Flow. People have told me I like to talk at them about a pretty wide range of topics, comics, games, movies, books, whatever, and now I'll be able to talk at you. Along with the weekly show will be two bi-weekly shows. First we have Fine You Pick, a show where one host picks a movie, then both hosts have to watch it. Then the next episode, the other host picks the movie. Each show will have a breakdown of why it is that movie was picked by that host, after which will be a discussion about what it is we just watched. Lastly, we have the show Top 3, Bottom 3. Similarly to Fine You Pick, one host picks a television series, and the next week, the pick alternates to the other host. Here, the episodes of the show are chosen by the top 3 episodes and the bottom 3 episodes, as rated on IMDb.com. Yes, this is probably the worst way to watch and review a television show, and yes, that's the idea. On our shows, I'll detail out how you can suggest things for us to watch, you can reach out and talk with the hosts, and maybe even appear on an episode. I hope you'll join me for this exciting new podcast adventure. I swear, we're going to make it more than 8 episodes.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games, visit us now at GeekCastRadio.com and YouTube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield. Transformers!
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
The Rod Pod,
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com, at iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
All right, folks, we are back here inside the 570th episode of The Pullbag. We are 30 away from 600. It quite literally is the longest running podcast on the Geekcast Radio Network, as far as overall numbered episodes. And yeah, that's going to do it for us. So you, Ryan, where can the people find your podcast again? What the heck's it called? I forget.
Up Nerd Podcasts. You can find us on upnerd.captivate.fm, but we're also on YouTube, Up Nerd Podcasts, where we keep uploading new videos of the podcast there. And yeah, we just keep chugging along. We just did top three, bottom three that released the week we're recording this of yep. Transformers Generation 1. Then we have got Variety, whatever Abby and I decide on this week. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we have Fine, you pick of The Artifice Girl, as I continue on our haute couture indie film chats. And then very top cool. three, bottom three of Cagney and Lacey, which will be sometime in the new year.
Very cool, very cool. Check that out, folks. It's very, very fun, very, very interesting, and awesome, as always. So thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. For this holiday season, you can visit shop.geekcastradio.com. We have a brand new store where you can order t-shirts up to 4XL, mugs, glasses, all kinds of cool other stuff. We're adding stuff all the time. I still got to have Steve add that winter beanie. He's busy, though, but I'll remind him to do that. You can send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can catch us on all the podcatching clients you choose to use, Apple, Spotify, etc. You can find us on X at Geekcast Radio, at The Pullbag. I am at TFG on Mike. Are you Xing out these days?
Nah, mostly just on Blue Sky, which is upnerdpodcast.bsky.social.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome. You can find us on Facebook, Geekcast Radio Network, and The Pullbag as well. Join us next time when we will be discussing myself and Matrix Prime, a.k.a. Jesse Early. We are going to be doing G.I. Joe number one from Skybound Entertainment. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Ryan the Uneven Flow.
As always, make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time.
Batmobile! Ignition!
And the sad thing is, when she does her transformation, they put her in blue. Edit point.
Wow, dying on your own podcast.
Yep. Well, it's been 569 episodes. I might as well die on the 570th one.
What is that saying that life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans? I never, ever planned on doing this kind of work.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, Facebook.com/ThePullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullbag and @GeekcastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
My brain's not a nice place to be.